I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast. Today we're on episode number 110 and we have a bumper episode today. We have county action to talk about with Limerick's win over Kilkenny in the All-Ireland final, but we have a lot of club action to discuss, both the end of the divisions with several finals on last weekend, and it's the big one, lads, the greatest show on earth. It's the county championships are starting next Friday with the Glamour Clash, of course, of St Mary's and Ballinan, the Rag at 7:30, but there's plenty other games to go to, so make sure you get the game weekend. I'm joined by Up North from Gartuhi, Stephen Cronin down south, and Sean Smith from the mid, so we've a good geographical spread there, lads. Where else could I start with yourself, Stephen? Bit of a cracker in Clonmel on Saturday night. Killinall coming out. One point winners in the end versus, you know, a dogged Carrick Swan team. This game almost had everything. And you know what? Was probably very tough conditions for hurling as well.
Excellent game. Game of hurling conditions. Even in the wet, slick weather, the skill set was on show to see. Killinall started a blaze of glory. They started 100 mile an hour, like, and got into a strong lead there earlier on. But when the Swan, I suppose, in around the middle third, the half back line were in the conundrum: did they stay or did they go? And it gave Killinall a good foothold in the game for that first 10 minutes, that, you know, of the uncertainty of what way they'll mark them in. And they raced into a 1-9 to 3-point lead at one stage, and then Swan settled down into it, you know, and what I have to give credit to their full back line. They kept the ship steady when out the field was a little bit shaky, you know, and they had a great game, the full back line. But they got a goal back, and they settled into it as the half wore on, and I think went in at half time. I think it was 6 to 1
at half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, after such a poor start then as well. And coming out in the second half, then when the wind picked up a little bit, you could feel it, that, you know, they're not out of this game yet, because Kieran Lunigan, you know,
he pitch in Clonmel, but he was bombing him down there.
Yeah, that, like, the small pitch up in Clonmel suits him big time, you know. He was able to hit that ball down into the edge of the square.
Listen, and for the listeners there now, there's a big disagreement between me and Steve. Yeah. Whether Clonmel plays is a big field. So we're getting out the trundle wheel before the end of the season to the confirmed. But
they clawed their way back into it. And they started getting their scores. They got another goal, good save out of Joe Caesar, and then Colin Waters followed it up. I think it was Colin Waters followed it up, kicked the ball into the net. It was a great position for him to be in, considering he was at half back, you know. But these are the breaks you need as well. And they just peppered the box, you know, and
they went very direct, and I think they went very direct.
Probably a little bit too much when there was the Kilnall lads were after falling back, and they kept two men in the full forward line and everyone else back. So it was a busy area from to get the shots off, but they did get the shots off. Danny O'Hanlon came on and He always causes panic in a full back line, you know, because he's so good in the air and so strong. Came on, got a lovely point, big high ball into the air, up he rose, caught it, put it over the bar. And I think he was the one that had a snapshot pulled on it, pulled a couple of inches over the crossbar, you know, nearly had him. But Kilnall then, on the other hand, they should have wrapped the game up themselves when Tom Stakelham
ran through.
Tom Stakelham, you know, when we're it was Gourock Hegarty esque. I know lads might laugh at it, but when he went up and caught that ball over Kevin Lanigan and tore through the middle, nobody could catch him. There wasn't a player on the field that could get close to him. And when he got to around the 21, the 14, you're putting your money on him to wrap the game up. And he just pulled it too far left, you know. And you'd feel if they got the goal at that stage, it was game over. But that again, a bit of luck that you need. And
had everything barred a finish, didn't it?
Everything barred a finish, and it would have been one of the goals of the year for club level if it went in, but not to be. Gave the Swan a lifeline, and we got to the stages where it's Swan time, like the St. Mary's lads didn't know last week. They were 2 points down with a couple of minutes to go, and it's dangerous, you know. If you give them a sniff of it, they'll go for it. And they had a 21-yard free that was well saved by the Kilnall.
I think he had to drive. For me, he had to drive that over the bar. I think there was about 3 minutes left that can go again.
Yeah, we were there. We had 4 minutes left on the clock, and you know. But I suppose when your dander's up and the confidence is there, and you know, you're kind of they were clawing away at it. I suppose you could give them the benefit of the doubt, saying you could go for it. There's 4 minutes left. There's still going to be chances, but.
Maybe I think
personally, I would have put it over the bar.
Eric Carter was interviewed after the Mary's game, and he said, like, you know, they're doing things a bit different this year, maybe not as much focus on the south. I don't know, maybe they just had to hell with extra time or whatever like that, and just
they're putting a lot of effort into the county. Like, look, when you go out and you play a game, you don't want to be beaten, and again, it's still final, they're there to be won. But if they qualify out of the group. Through the group's games, they won't care about the self-final.
Again, we have to talk about the winners as well. Man of the match, I think, by a mile was Joe Dwyer.
Ah, he was excellent.
You know, from players and balls as well, could be said is the difference, but he was excellent.
No, yeah, and a big move from Kilnall. Joe Dwyer playing centre-back against Mullaghone in the semi-final, and he went out to midfield then against the Swan for the south-final. And everything went through him. He ran the show. Owen Barry was excellent as well in the first half. He just had the freedom of the park, and they couldn't get near him. Like, the boys were brilliant, and anything Mouse hit from place balls was excellent. He gave an exhibition on place balls and striking even against the wind. Bit fortuitous for the goal. I'm part of the goalies union now, so I have a bit of sympathy for Kieran Lunnigan, because I don't think I hate AstroTurfs.
AstroTurf goal again. It hopped on the AstroTurf, and it kind of went, or didn't hop, I suppose, and it just went straight on.
Yeah, it's like as if it hit the edge of the soil and the edge of the AstroTurf and just rolled.
Yeah,
and you know, it's a horrible way to concede a goal, because there is, you know, it's a split second. There's no recovery.
That stage, again, I was very worried for Swan. I wanted them to kind of get a few scores to make a game, but in fairness, they did, because, you know, Kilnall, the work rate, you know, you saw Fanning there, he's kind of in line with me in the stand, and, like, Jesus, he was, the turnovers, he was celebrating, like, scores, you know, pure.
And it's not something we used to. There's not something they would have been known for down the years was the fight, you know, the fight and the mulliken and winning the battles, and they won most of the battles, and you know, it is he's after putting a new stamp on Killinall there now, and they needed that and bit of grit to finish out the game.
Say with all this with Killinall that they were missing Bubbles.
Bubbles well, and so, Stakelam's brother as well. There was another Stakelam there that was playing semi-final that wasn't playing, you know. And as you said, without the talisman Bubbles, so it makes the result even better for Killinall because they'll feel going forward that they can be even stronger, you know. And it had everything. It had all the drama, and you know, which is an excellent exciting. It must have been a hard game for either the Killinall or the Swan crowd, but it was an excellent game for the neutrals up there.
Exactly, yeah. Yourselves, then you were also in divisional action the week before. No joy against a very impressive Kilsheelan. I suppose the lads are doing the power rankings there for the things that watch the socials during the week. There might be a few contentious ones, but Kilsheelan are definitely up there with a right chance to kind of win this Premier Intermediate.
Yeah, they have a right good team.
Not Premier Intermediate, Junior Intermediate.
they have a right good team, and you know, a lot of young lads. Quick fit. Unfortunately, just didn't work out for us on the day. I think we lacked a little bit of cohesion up top, and you know, we the boys gave a good account of ourselves. Like our backs were excellent. I thought, even though Kilsheelan's forwards, they were the go-to men when they needed to get the scores. They got the scores, you know. And I know that sounds a bit weird when saying our backs were excellent as well. At the same time, we needed to win a half time ahead. And we just couldn't get ahead of them. I think they had seven out of 9 points in the first half were frees, which is something that we have to work on. But it's such a good thing for a club when your big men are up top and they're able to score. And between the two Keoghs, Barry and Mark, you know, they got the scores. They were just, when they needed it, these boys got the scores now.
And you know, if they can get Paul Maher on the field as well, keep him on the field.
Yeah, they'll have, and I think Mark was interviewed afterwards and he says, you know, they've eyes on a bigger prize there. So they'll be looking to push hard for a county, and I don't think they'll be too far away either.
Absolutely, Gar. Plenty of action up north this weekend. We Laura winning a very entertaining Premier Intermediate grade Sunday night, won the marquee games, Nina getting over Kildangan. I suppose that's a bit of a surprise there, if not an outright shock. And Intermediate, I think Moneygall put down a marker.
Yeah, we'll touch on Moneygall there first. Just seeing that you're after finishing up with Kilsheelan, I suppose the talk around the county, especially in the north, is about Moneygall probably being the favourites for it, and Kilsheelan probably close in behind, or look, vice versa. Look, I'll tell you straight out, Moneygall were fierce, impressive lads. Obviously, Burst Cain absolutely annihilated Kildangan last week in the semi-final. And I have a small kind of foothold in the Moneygall camp, a bit of family being there. I still thought Burst Cain would win this game. Burst Cain got 21 points in play against Kildangan. Moneygall were poor against the Rovers, but Jesus, lads, it was a completely different Moneygall team that turned up from the get-go. Conor Ryan got 2 points in play inside 2 or 3 minutes, 42 going on 22. Sean Fogarty in the first half was catching balls left, right and centre. But the forwards, it's from Bob Kenny out. Bob Kenny played 15. Started like a third man midfielder. Sean Fogarty wearing 14 started out in the half forward line. Sean Keneally was inside full forward. Vice versa. Burst Cain were 6 and 7s. Like, Burst Cain didn't score until 18 minutes. When he got at 2-6 and play at half time, and they just had nothing going forward whatsoever. Mushin Larkin was marked by Liam Carroll, and he did a great job in him. By Enda Hoolan, and he kept him to 1 point from play. But look, Brendan Toohey was very good centre-back. Adam Hogan kind of ended up being a free man. Burst Cain didn't push anyone up. They had a spare man there the whole game up until 55 minutes. They didn't push up at all. But look, Sean Keneally got 2-3 from play. Joe got 7 points in the second half. He ended up getting man of the match from the North Board. But again, Conor Ryan and Phil Fannin, that's Jesus. What more can I say? But I think Phil is 36, 37. Connor's 42. And then I suppose they have a bit of touch of class coming off the bench there as well, and Mark Fanning. Mark has a bit of swag about him, and he knows it as well, he does. But I don't know if you've seen the highlights. We've thrown a few clips up in Clubber. He was only his first touch of the ball. He kind of flicked the ball off the dead ball off the ground into his paw. Now, rain all day into him, and he popped it out to Joe, out the sideline and over the shoulder. Probably won the scores of the weekend, but I was fierce impressing when he got, lads. They didn't give Burst Cain an inch. They absolutely went for it. Like, they hurled like they were 10 points down the whole game. Yeah, Moneygall, I haven't seen much of Kilshiel now this year, but by all accounts, it'll be Moneygall, Kilshiel, and if they don't meet before a county final, they're the two to beat for the intermediate.
That's a big call this far out, all right. We'll have to talk about the West later on. Kappa White getting a great win in the West. But Laura then, I suppose, Gar, I didn't see this game, but you know, Laura in 2020 were banging in the goals in their run to the Orion final. They lost out to Mulnahone, I think, if memory serves. But they had a tough couple of years after that relegation, then followed by promotion and back in it, Premier Intermediate. How impressed were you with them?
Well, look, listen, as the boys in the Dunbelievable said, it's a game of two halves, the first half and the second half. Laura's second half was the real Laura. It was the Laura of last year that showed up. If you're from Burgess, you'll be absolutely sick today. You'll be absolutely sick. You were 5 points up at half time, cruising. And we did a preview during the week for Clubber TV. And I said, the only thing about Burgess is I'm very worried about is against the Mines, they were 9 points up. The Mines brought back 4 points. Now, look, they went on to win in the end. Against Newport in the semi-final, they were 8 points up, and Newport brought back to a point. They still went on to win in the end, but they were 5 points up, and they ended up losing by 5 points. Look, Stephen Kerwin from Burgess side, Stephen Kerwin got 1-4 from play. He was absolutely excellent. Johnny McQueen was solid. Danny Ryan and Michael Ryan in Middle Park had 4 points in play between them. But Stephen Kerwin was absolutely class. Dunna, look, we'll probably have to touch on Dunna, obviously. You just wonder, they were 5 points up, they lost by 5 points. Would experience have done that, maybe dropping back into midfield or half back line, maybe just kind of contain the sinking ship there a small bit. But look, Laura, look, I suppose you said a couple of years Laura were probably struggling, and I thought that as well. But Watson, there's only 1 year. They lost a county final to Mulnahone. Then the next year they went down. I'm sure they were dogged with injuries. Mm-hmm. I think they had 7 or 8 lads away that year and injuries as well. So then last year they bounced back, and poor Moneygall just ran into an absolute steam engine last year in Laura, and they've continued on. Like, I'll touch on the game now in a second, but they've won a North Intermediate, a County Intermediate, and now a North Premier Intermediate. Like, they're going to take some stopping for this Premier Intermediate. You can't beat winning, lads, and you can't beat trophies. But look, I won't even touch on the first half for Laura. They were completely non-existent. In the second half, Mikey Dolan from centre-back, kind of a spare man, but it's not that simple playing that game, lads. You know it. He was unbelievable. The Bonner ended up getting man of the match. He got 1-3 from play. And come here, we have a highlight reel of scores up there on my Instagram there for Owen McIntyre's goal, lads. The flick on the ground. Again, a dead ball onto the flick. And it's not like Bonner to be flashy, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, Bonner looked rampaging in that, didn't he?
Oh, Jesus, lads. The flicks and the tricks from him yesterday were unbelievable. Look, Colin Forkey was very good in the second half. He got 8 points in play, or 8 points three from play. Owen McIntyre, Keane Hogan, Chris Fogarty, Niall McIntyre. Look, I'm not going to go through the whole team. They all stood up in the second half. A comfortable 5 points in the end. And yeah, we spoke with Ken and Shane Brophy.
Talking to you now, I kind of regret, and I might have had a small hand in doing the power rankings earlier today for the Premier Intermediate. And to be honest, I won't without too much. I've Laura in at 6, so I Burgess actually ahead of him, maybe going
well,
to be fine last year.
I guarantee when this goes out later on during the week, that the Laura boys will have this pace and post it up in the dressing room.
That's I don't know, the North Farm can be a bit dodgy, never mind that, not North Intermediate, but again, Moneygall might be searched for the Intermediate going on that, we have them up the top anyway, and I suppose, look, the biggest show of all, Nina, often can be very impressive, kind of like in the early season of things, before struggling later on, is this another false dawn for Nina, or...
No, and look, I tell you straight out, look, last year, it's kind of the same Nina turned up last year, in the sense that they were in Killalangan's face from the get-go, but... whatever it is about this Nina team this year, they just look physically different. Like Conor Hennessy, for example, he got man the match, and I've been praising Conor and Jake all year so far. Conor played, I think, cornerback or wing back last year. He's playing wing forward this year. Like they're missing the two Quins. They're missing Conor McCarthy. They're missing 3 or 4 others as well. This is a completely new Nina team from last year. But again, the intensity, lads, it was just something I have never seen from this Nina team before. Even from the team that won the North Final last year. The intensity and the aggression from the get-go was just ridiculous. All 6 forwards, I would love to see the stats and the turnovers and the hooks and blocks. Look, we'll obviously touch on the incident there shortly, I'm sure, but Jake was very good when we got into the game. Josh Keller and Conor Hennessy, the two wings, were excellent. Mikey Heffernan and Paddy Murphy, lads, I think they got their 7th North medal. They were absolutely unbelievable. Paddy's kind of playing the 6 role again, but the free 6 role. And I spoke to him after the game. Myself and Paddy actually played under 10 soccer over 20 years ago. So we're giving away our age now at this stage. But he was absolutely excellent. And the transformation from him from being a forward when the marquee forward, so centre back, has been excellent. And look, Sam O'Farrell really stood up, cornerback as well. So it's great to see a young lad like that coming up.
Exactly. But I suppose it'll be high hopes for him. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, he's only 18 this year. So, like, you know, traditionally he wouldn't even be down to that minor grade. But yeah, he was definitely prominent on Saturday.
Yeah, it's very rare you see, I suppose, a young lad coming straight out of minor now with 17 straight into a senior team. Mm-hmm. Like, I suppose intermediate clubs, no disrespect, would probably have plenty of them. But it's very rare. Like, Thurles, the amount of times Thurles have good minors and they don't start playing until they're 19 or 20. But Sam really stood up. Look, the Bull Walsh came off the bench. They have a good bench there as well. He got a couple of points. But look, from the Kilangan side, look, they were just poor lads. They just never got going, but they weren't allowed to get going. The forwards, like, for the first time I've seen, like, they struggled in the forwards. Like, you're looking at Paul Flynn, Billy Seymour, Shane Gleeson, Sean Hayes, Owen Sharkey, Willie Connors. Look, poor Willie went off injured, lads, in the first 5-10 minutes. And that kind of just really set the tone for Kilangan. They were without Decky McGrath and Ty Gallagher, as it was. Without Willie then for basically the whole game. They just never got going. And yeah, look, neither are full credit for the win. But look, I suppose it's been tainted a small bit with Jake and the injury. I actually bumped into Jake yesterday inside the High B. Having the grub for the All-Ireland, and had a small chat with him for a couple of minutes. And look, he's in great spirits. He's a fractured eye socket. And look, it's disappointing, all right. I suppose the video is doing the rounds there. But look, knowing James Quigley, look, I'm not defending him in the way, but there was no intention in it. 100% there was no intention. He came in 100 miles an hour. And if you look at it, it was head-to-head. There was no shoulder there whatsoever. You can look at it whatever angle you want, but there was no shoulder whatsoever. But look, I suppose it's from a player welfare point of view. Are players allowed to come in at that kind of speed to do shoulders? I think
if you get it wrong and if you are going at that speed, then you leave yourself open to the consequences.
100%. 100%. Now, look, listen, he deserved... He got a second yellow card by right. He probably should have got a red card, a straight red. But look, for Langan, he's not going to miss the next game. But look, I just want to make a comment there. Look, obviously on Facebook and Twitter over the last couple of days, there's been some nasty comments towards James, and it's just not needed at all. Look, professional athletes don't deserve comments like that. So to those keyboard warriors and folk leaving comments about James.
It's something we're going to see more generally, you know, with Clubber and County Board and all the other kind of highlights and stuff from matches. So look, it's probably a good thing because people get to see it anyway, you know, the instant they can make up their own minds rather than hearing third and fourth hand accounts of it. But like, yeah, you know, it wasn't the greatest challenge in the world. It wasn't the worst challenge in the world.
No, but look, the main thing, look, the way I see things like this is, look, this won't be the last time something like this happens, lads. There will be challenges in the county championship now in the next so 3 or 4 weeks. There'll be heavy hits going in, but there was no intention from James. He went in, if you see the two boys, they were getting ready for the shoulder, and just at the last second, just James timed it wrong, as simple as that. He was completely wrong. He deserved to get sent off, but look, there's no need for the abuse. Look, we're all here. Look, we're here talking about the game. We're enjoying it. The boys are playing the game to enjoy it as well. No one deserves any abuse like that, especially when it wasn't intentional. But look, overall, a very disappointing weekend for Kilangan. A great weekend for Nina. And look, usually, I suppose, injuries like that, you're looking at, 6 to 7 weeks? Now, Jake was talking possibly there could be surgery. If he does need surgery, that's him probably gone for the year. But all roads lead to him coming back for the preliminary or the county quarterfinal.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, Nina's hopes might rest with him as well, like, you know, kind of because... Again, he's having a great year, so it would be, you know, for Nina's hopes there, he's key. Into the West, lads. Again, we'll talk about the intermediate final after, but Clonalty had a very impressive win over Cashel. In this here, look, I was just following this one on Twitter a lot. I didn't see it, but, you know, they seem to kind of put Cashel to the sword fairly easily and fairly quickly in the first half.
What is it? Is it 9 in a row or is it 10 in a row they've gone for now? And it's just
like that.
They just look, obviously it's going to be a tough year for Clonalty this year, obviously after losing Dylan last year. And look, you'd imagine they'd be fully focused on a Dan Breen this year. And look, it's something that you couldn't write them off, lads.
Bit of a dark horse there, people are saying now.
When they won the county, how many years ago is it now since they won the county? But
2018, was it 18?
There's a bit more hurling in this team. I know, like, we've had 6 different winners of the county in the last 6 years. So, look, we've had plenty of shocks over the last couple of years. I'd have them in as a dark horse. And they've all the elements behind them to drive them on as well.
And look, they have their preliminary quarter final now already as a result of that. So, which is key. We saw, you know, last year, Bar Salee, I suppose you could call them a dark horse, but they're out after 2 games. You know, they're out of everything. So, I think even this year, that the focus on the divisions ramped up a notch, right? Penalty had probably the softest path, but you see Mulnahan in the south as well, you know, gave up any opportunity for a prelim quarter, you know, losing to an Orion team. So again, Cashel bet Sean Tracy's, who they're, you know, in the semi final, who'd be, you know, their own kind of level, their own grade. So the positives there, but I suppose they won't be happy with the level of beating, that maybe how far off the pace they kind of seem to be against Cashel or against Clonalty.
Just on the Tracy's, I was actually impressed with Tracy's against Cashel. I fully expected Cashel to steamroll them. Obviously, on paper, Cashel are, look, they're a top team, but Tracy's to me were very impressive. They're obviously doing a lot of work down there. Look, they're obviously stuck for numbers, like a lot of clubs around the county, but they impressed me. But then for that to come out, that result then at the weekend, it was.
And again, apologies to Tracy's in advance. They might be number 15 on the power rankings.
You're giving too much away there now.
It was tough, yeah. But look, Port Roar might be a run below them. So look, there's always somebody. So look.
But no, look, sure, look, Clonalty then. I'd look at the weekend. I suppose they did Bursley and Cashel. Trying to see here now. Cashel
of Mine on Sunday.
Mine, yeah. So look, they're two different tales there, do you know? So, yeah. Look, I know we'll touch on the county there later on, but I was very disappointed in Cashel.
And then definitely, I suppose, the big show at the West Intermediate. So Mike McCarthy, friend of the podcast, congratulations. Great win for Kappa White, are back. Dara McCarthy, 3-8, 3-4 from play against Arrivale. So I know Moneygall are good, but it's hard to see Kappa White being bet for the county intermediate. And who knows, maybe a run at Munster as well. And again, somehow I think they're number 11 in the power rankings. Like, so no prizes for guessing who might have steered those ones playing down the expectations, but they're top three there. Stephen, I don't know if you saw the mid games. Tarlis Arshi has won, you know, a squeaky bum time, I suppose. Upper Church, more heartbreak Sunday lunchtime in Littleton for Upper Church. But
just again, following that Twitter, like, you know, unfortunately didn't get to it, but geez, yeah, heartbreak for Upper Church, you know, led most of the way as well. But look, Sarsfields are used to winning, you know, there's never panic stations there. A lot of clubs, unfortunately, when they come up against the teams like the Sarsfields or, you know, or the Lochmores, when the finishing line is in sight, you know, the nerves kind of kick in, you know, it could be the biggest day in a long, long time. And unfortunately for them, the Sars, the experience, you know, the last couple of minutes to take the lead and win out, you know. But I suppose Upper Church will take great heart from it as well. Great confidence to back up last year's
performance. They beat Lochmore in the semi, wasn't it? So
Lochmore
missing one or two, but strong form.
If any time Lochmore missing one or two, nobody bats an eyelid to it because it's still Lochmore. You know, they perform regardless of who's playing or who's not playing. So that won't bother Upper Church. They'll see that as, you know, they took a big scalp there. They got the better of Lochmore. They brought Sarsfields to the wire. Just didn't work out with them out from the last couple of minutes. But rather than dwell on it, now they kind of just have to brush it off and be ready for the county championships this weekend. Like, you know, Sarsfields, they're doing this all the time. You know, so there's they'll be ready. Like, you know, there won't be any mad celebrations in Thurles this weekend just gone, and you know, but I suppose you'd have to feel for Upper Church trying to make that breakthrough. And you know, when Thurles Sarsfields and Lochmore are in your division, it's going to always be tough.
I think it was like something like number 47. Again, like, that's almost kind of one and but two, they're winning.
Upper Church, and just touching Upper Church really quickly, like, in any sport, it's hard to beat, I suppose, two top teams back to back. It's like you throw everything, throw the sink at Lochmore, and come here. They're actually comfortable winners for me against Lochmore. The scoreline probably didn't reflect it, but to come to within 2 points, sometimes it's nearly better to lose by 10 points than it is come so close. But it's hard to put back to back wins against two top teams like that in any sport. So look, I'm sure it'll come for them eventually, but Jesus, heartbreak for them again. Like,
Absolutely. And then elsewhere in the mid there, trying to get the Premier Intermediate. Is that mine and that?
No. Penalties, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, cracking stuff.
Of course, Gartnahu, just by the thinnest of margins.
Yeah, no, I didn't see the game. Again, I was following it on Twitter, and Clubber was covering it. So we were delighted. It went to penalties already with the clicks and the views and stuff. But again, absolute cracker. And sure, look, it's not the best way to lose a final in any sport. But look, Gartnahu won't give a rat's backside.
No, look, they're beating county finalists last year. So again, yeah. You know, they'd be a very good Ross Gray team. Last year, so I think that they will have big aspirations for this year. I think we mentioned last. I think we tipped them to lose nearly every game last year, and they won every game. So,
we'll be getting text messages shortly, you know, making sure we tipped them to lose this weekend as well. You know, they were very impressive, you know, last year, and I think we touched on it last year. Ross Cray were just a little bit cuter, you know, they were a bit stronger in the air, and you know, but Gartnahu. You know, they did very well, and plus winning that penalties, that shows, no, in fairness, for both teams to get the penalties, it shows great character out of the two teams. You know, like, it's the normal game, extra time and then penalties. Unfortunately, there has to be a winner, so both teams will take great heart from the character shown on the day. And for Gartnahu, it's a continuation of the good form of last year as well, so they'll be fancying it now going into the championship.
Yeah, speaking of the championship, lads, what we'll do is, time is cracking on, so before we leave the club action, we will preview the county. So get your fixtures out there now, get it all ready. And Friday night, I suppose, Premier Intermediate will go with first, St. Mary's Ballina. Probably both teams will be targeting and winning this. I'm obviously going to say Mary's. I'm going to obviously go St. Mary's. Gary might have a bit of a steer. Ballina, bad loss up in the divisions.
Yeah, look, it was against Newport in the first 20-25 minutes. They were very good, obviously. They were without Stephen O'Brien, a massive loss. Now, look, I was actually impressed with the Marys against the Swans. Look, they were the better team, and sorry to the Swans lads listening in, but they were the better team against the Swans. Look, I'd be expecting a Marys win there. There's six games on Friday evening. It's absolutely cracking. And I suppose, just touch on it quickly there. I suppose we're delighted. We're after getting a 3-year deal with the county board. So we're actually covering 16 live games this weekend. On Clubber. So look, if you can't get to the games, fire over to clubber.ie and pick up your match pass. Yeah. But
pass there for you might be the one you want to go for.
Good man. Yeah, cheers. I was going to plug that later on myself, but thanks very much. You've done it for me. But no, in fairness, it's actually ridiculous value. Like, it's €99, and you get every single game that's been played this year and that is to be played. Like, we're hoping to cover 60 plus games in Tipperary alone. But like, we've got the Waterford Championship, the Kerry Football League, and the Kerry Hurling Championship as well. But I expect Mary's to win there. Ballina, or Stephen, is a big loss for Ballina. Is
Newport and Clonakenny. Newport have been a little bit disappointed. Clonakenny, again, they were on the losing end of that penalty shootout against Gartnahu on Saturday. So look, it's tough. Maybe play 80 minutes there and turn around on the Friday, especially, like, you know, so 6-day turnaround there. So again, Jesus, the winner, like, that's one there. Both teams will, you know, generally, to get off to a start in these county a winning start in these county championships, absolutely crucial, because you're looking forward straight away, like.
Yeah, and look, it's two teams coming in with massive disappointment. Newport just didn't show up for long enough against Burgess. The late surge, Sean O'Brien came off the bench and scored 1-1, and Clonakenny obviously lost some penalty, so. Newport will be hoping to right the wrongs of the performance against Burgess, and then Clonakenny will try to pick themselves up during the week. Now, look, listen, Clonakenny, they're as, I mean this in the most positive way possible. They're as thick and as ignorant as you come across on the field. So I'm sure they'll pick themselves up during the week, and they'll be ready for Newport. That's going to be a cracker on Friday night.
Yeah, Silver Mines and Burgess, then the other game in that.
Silvermines and Burgess, look, again, Burgess disappointed with second half performance. I was very disappointed with the Mines against Burgess. Look, I hate calling against my own club, but from what I've seen so far this year, I've seen Burgess 3 times. I do expect Burgess to get over us.
Yeah, I can't call that group now. Jeez, that's for me. That-
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That's a group of death there, and there's no preliminary quarter final qualifiers, I think, in it. So I couldn't call who's going to win that, and definitely who's not going to be in relegation there. I think all four teams will fancy that.
No, 100%, 100%. And again, it's all about Burgess and how they react to this week. Like, the Mines have had 2 weeks now to, I suppose, get a game plan together to counteract Burgess, but it's all about Burgess and how they react to the loss last night.
Yeah. True. Stephen, you're out on Friday night, the relegation six-pointer against Arravale.
Everybody's favourites to go down. I spoke a few weeks ago about teams always trying to play the poor mouth. So I can't turn around here now and say play the poor mouth myself here now. But look, we'll be confident going into it. You know, Arravale will probably see us as the target as well. You know, if they can get the win against us, to take the shackles off them, but you know, but we'll be looking at them as well, and we'll be saying, like, you know, first round, if we can get off to a good start, you know, it could set us up for a right good second round. But look, we'll be confident going up there now against Arravale, and I suppose it's probably something that can go up in the wall, but we've had the measure of them the last couple of years, so you know, we've got the run on them a couple of times, you know, so hopefully that's in the back of their mind, you know, and it might put a bit of doubt, it might give us an old starting off.
Yeah, the glamour tie of the weekend is definitely down in Clonmel on Friday night. It's Skeena Rinkey versus Ballybacon Grange in the intermediate. This is a group, lads, Skeena Rinkey, Ballybacon, Upper Church and Boris the Cane. So you'd probably have three that, I know Skeheen probably got into a semi-final last year, but you know, maybe three kind of relegation candidates for my money, kind of playing off in this group, from Boris the Cane being, they should win that group.
You'd be thinking Boris the Cane would win that, and the losers of the Skeena Ballybacon game, will be under big pressure. Tosha and Skeen were very poor when they came up to intermediate. They were excellent, you know, the fluidity, they did a great game. And coming off a Munster Championship run, but against Ballingarry and Monroe, they were extremely poor. And I don't know if there was lads away, there could have been a festival up in Skeheen, but they were very poor, and they could be under a bit of pressure if they
lost. Yeah, I think it's hard. They might be getting the bounce, you know, they got the bounce last year coming up. But Gard, then I suppose up north, it's a Northern Derby, it's Toomavara versus the county champions, Kilruan and Nina. I fancy Kilruan to have a routine win here.
Yeah, come here, listen, lads. What a way to kick off the county championship. Half seven Friday night in Nina. Kilruan are obviously down a couple of bodies, and I fully expected Bursley to beat them handy enough in Dala a couple of weeks ago. But geez, Kilruan were excellent. They were absolutely dynamite. And I made a point in commentary that day, they went into every single county championship and Munster championship game last year as underdogs. So you just never write Kilruan off. Look, Toom gave it to Nina plenty, but I just think Kilruan have enough dog in them to get over the line. They've a bit more experience as well, but come here, what a way to start the weekend. Like, Jesus, if that doesn't get you going for hurling, like, nothing will.
Exactly. And the other game in this group again is on Friday night. It's Mycarkey, arguably underachievers the last couple of years, against promoted Ross Gray from the ORE. And again, my worry is that there's a bit of a gap between maybe the Dan Breen and the Orion teams developing in terms of standard, I'd be watching the result in this game closely to see how competitive Ross Cray are. Like, that's, you know, second place is probably wide open in this group, I would say, but that's a must win for both these teams.
Yeah, I'm actually doing that game myself now for Clubber Friday night. I'm really looking forward to it. But to touch on your point there, I completely agree with you. I do think there's a small bit of a gap, and Ross Cray really showed it against Killangan. Usually, Joan, you come up with county winners, usually next year have that bounce factor where they drive on for a few months. Like we had in 2012-13 with the Mines, we got to the senior final, but look, we got found out against Killangan. Ross Cray got found out against Killangan as well. But look, it's a right chance for them to bounce back, but I think Mike Carrick will have just a bit more hurling on him.
Then the Saturday we go through, I'll go to my annual. I think this is going to be the year that I'm on the home drop out of the Dan Breen in a minute. But first up, we've Drummond Inch against the North champions, Nina. Jake Morris, less Nina, but again, Drum, possibly another dark horse for the county. Any thoughts on this one, lads?
Yeah, come here. Nina, if Jake stays fit, Nina are actually probably my favourites for the county, if you can get back in time. But I actually fully expect Drum to win this game at the weekend. Now, I know that sounds maybe a bit contradiction, but Drum on paper. Look, paper wins you nothing, but Drum and paper are a top team, and I fully expect them to bounce back after the disappointment of losing and shedding so much against Lochmore. I do think Drum will win. Look, Nina probably fully enjoyed their North final back to back for the first time in 30 years, and look, they have the Trump card as well of
I think there was a few celebrations there. I saw the cup in a couple of local
hospitals. Dead right as well there.
Exactly, yeah. It might be good to avoid the divisional winners this weekend. That's actually a double header, Killadangan and Ballingarry open things up there. Again, I'm flying the Ballingarry flag this year in intermediate, lads. Some of you mightn't have had the same thoughts with the power rankings again, but for me, yeah, they've great potential. It's Killadangan B they're up against. I think they should win that one. The other game then, I suppose, in the senior would be Temple Derry and Lochmore. You just kind of mentioned it there, Garrett, maybe the second year being a chance for, you know, to kick on a bit senior with Temple Derry. It's a tough introduction to this year for him.
It is, and listen, I'm a clubber for the doubleheader there in Bursley. I fully expect two, and I don't want to be disrespectful now to either team, but I fully expect two handy wins for Lochmore and Killinall. Look, Temple Derry actually very good against Nina. It was just the last 15 minutes where it was the real quality and the legs really maybe caught him. And Temple Derry without Brian Stavelton, he was away on holidays, I think. I'm not too sure if he's back, but look, Lochmore, they will have too much class for him. Temple Derry are not short of hurlers though, and that's probably been their problem. They have 12 or 13, like, really nice top hurlers. They just don't have enough probably go to the well with. And I suppose then Killinall and Portrow are fairly depleted. AJ Willis and Ruan Mulrooney are missing. Obviously, two boys won a New York Championship there with Tipperary there a couple of weeks ago. And by all accounts, the two boys were absolutely incredible for the whole championship. So I don't think they're back for this game. I could be wrong. But look, I fully expect Lochmore and Killinall to get over Temple Derry and Portrow and Bursley.
Yeah, and I suppose the other game in this group is just before the football final, the big ball final in Dublin on Sunday is Holy Cross and Upper Church. You know, Upper Church, another narrow divisional loss, as we said, like, again, but that's, like, for those Holy Cross, you're probably looking very good underage the last few years. They're probably looking for that big marquee win to announce them on the seniors setup. We mentioned about the mid being cutthroat in terms of divisions. Could they show a bit of better form here?
Again, it's that bounce factor, isn't it? Like, will Upper Church have enough in the belly, enough in the tank to go 3 weeks in a row? Like, that's two slugs they're after going through with two of the best teams in the county. Look, betting point of view, you wouldn't touch the game because you don't know who's going to win that. On paper, Holy Cross have the better hurlers. But again, I would never write off Upper Church. There's probably four or five teams in the county that no matter what, they could play with five players, you just wouldn't write them off. I couldn't call this game at all, but look, with it going to my head, I probably would go with Holy Cross if the real Holy Cross shows up, and so that's the disappointment of Upper Church last weekend.
Again, back to the Premier Intermediate on the Saturday. The housewives' choices, we say, maybe Laura against the power ranking number one going into it, a very dubious thing for Gartnahoo. North champions against mid-champions there. Neither of them will have an excuse, I suppose. We just talked about Gartnahoo maybe going 80 minutes, but I suppose Laura had a tough 60 on a day after. So again, there could be fatigue in play for both of those. But again, great chance. They have their preliminary quarterfinal in the bag, but you know, great chance maybe to kind of to put down a marker and get that quarterfinal place. I think, lads, I know the divisions gives you the preliminary quarterfinal, but I think in these championships, it's such an advantage to go through directly to a quarterfinal. You know, it's just so key. If you look at the scene or whatever, having to win three games instead of four, because there's good teams kind of sniffing around in all those preliminary quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, no, you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, obviously, two divisional winners. Look, both teams played at the weekend. Both teams won. Both teams probably enjoyed the celebrations. Again, I'm going to stick my hat on the mast there, and I think Laura will come through it. If the second half Laura shows up, I just find them unstoppable this year in the Premier Intermediate. Now, that's a fair statement now, but like, geez, Niall McIntyre, Noah McIntyre, Chris Fogarty, Bonner, Keane Hogan, like, Jesus, like, they have big men, they have powerful men, they have pace to burn, and I just think, I don't know what you think, Stephen, now, but I don't think Gordon Hoo would have enough now to stop Laura, a full train, Laura.
Yeah, I played against both of them the last couple of years. I think where Gordon Hoo were really strong last year was up top. They just stayed working. You know, there was no panic. There was no, like, their forwards chased down every ball that most teams don't chase down, and they won't be found wanting for work rate anyway. You know, and as we said, look, they were in the county final last year because they deserve to be in there. Laura, although might lack numbers, let's say, you know, a few lads gone from the Laura team could be the difference of them competing and being in the relegation, but they're absolutely flying there the last year and a half. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if they could make another step up to do it, to be competing at the top table, the Premier Intermediate level. You know, I suppose Gordon Hoo will want me to, they'll want me to tip Laura anyway. You know, they'll want to continue that, but Laura are they're in some fine form, and you'd give them the nod.
Yeah, it's a intermediate, as it's a Western Derby, Golden Kilfeacal against Kappa White, in Dundrum. Any thoughts on that one? Don't expect you to have thoughts on all the games, but maybe, you know, Kappa White on a bit of high, they definitely enjoyed the celebration, so might be a bit of payback for Golden there. Borland, mid-champions against Kilsheelan. I think that's a win for Kilsheelan, Stephen.
I think this is going to be a cracking game. You know, nice. The new lads coming into Borland now will make them stronger. I played against Borland in the county league. The movement up top is excellent. It's not too dissimilar to Kilsheelan's. You know, they're moving, but they're moving with purpose, and they're finding these lads. I think it'll be a cracking game. And just to go back to the point, I know these two clubs now will have the preliminary quarter final, but I think qualifying, like, obviously they're qualified, but qualifying through the group is a better show of form than qualifying winning your division. And look, these two teams want to win a county. They're going to want that. There's going to be no shadow punching this weekend, shadow boxing. They're going to go out there now and lay down a marker for the rest of the year. So I expect this to be a cracker this weekend.
Yeah, then it's something I don't like. I don't think it's in the county, the regulations still. I think if you finish second in your group and have your division won, I think you should go into the quarterfinals. But I think it's still open to correction here on this from anyone. But I think you're still liable for the preliminary quarterfinal for the draw there. But I think, as you said,
If you finish second, you should play yourself, in inverted commas, if you get me. And if you finish second and win your division, you should be automatically into a quarterfinal.
Exactly. And then the phone has gone. There, I suppose, on the Sunday, a lot of these games are either early or late to take account of the Kerry Dublin final. But Barcelona and Clonalty, we spoke about Clonalty already. We only mentioned that Barcelona had a very short year last year, had a kind of a very kind of vaunted setup there, but it didn't work out for them. They've had a bit of managerial change by all accounts this year already, so they're definitely a serious hurling team on their day.
They need to win more so than Clonalty, because it was a poor year by their own standards last year. Very poor, you know. To be gone after the second game is tough on anyone, let alone club with Dan Breen aspirations.
And come here,
Just on Bursey there, just as you said last year, yeah, brutally disappointing for them. But lads, like, they'll be absolutely sick to the core about what happened against Killangan. Like, they were 2 points up and a man up with 10 minutes to go. All you had to do was see the game out. And obviously, Killangan's experience turned it around. So, like, this is a must win for, this is a county final for them now on Sunday. I know it's early in the year, but Jesus, they have to be cloudy on Sunday to do.
And Stephen, maybe I'm being a bit harsh then. Mulnahone and JK Brackens, am I being a bit harsh, kind of almost automatically dooming Mulnahone to a relegation dogfight?
No, I don't think it's harsh. I think Mulnahone are under pressure. They're the same work rate will always be in Mulnahone. They'll fight for everything. But I don't think the same conveyor belt of talent is coming through. And I know they were in the county final a few years ago. You know, they do have under 21, they do have some great hurlers, but
very good under 17 team coming through as well. But
yeah, they were blessed for 20 years, you know, from John Lahey down to the Kellys to the Kearns. And I think they're playing now, if it's something they continue with, Sean Corn was playing centre back against Kilnall, and I think that takes a lot from their forward line. I think I think he's excellent going forward, and he's a huge outlet for him. Like, he's savage in the air, and he knows where the posts are. That's a big call for him if he's going to continue that play and playing the centre back role. But I think the time is coming where they could start finding themselves scrapping it out at the bottom of the table in the seniors. And
yeah, absolutely, you know, I'd agree with that there. I think maybe time might be catching up on a bit. In terms of that, arguably the biggest game of the weekend would be Turles Arsenal's Kildangan in the stadium. Again, this group is a dinger.
Oh, Jesus, lads. It's like, that's absolute cracker. That's like, again, it's an absolute perfect chance now for Dangan to bounce back. Now, obviously, Decky and Tiger both back for it because the two straight red cards they got, that only applies for the divisional championship. So, look, again, Turles remind me, they're like Nina, you just don't know what Turles is going to show up. And sometimes I don't feel Turles do their best hurling side in the stadium. Look, again, you couldn't call it, but it's Jesus, what a dinger of a game.
I don't think, you know, that Kildangan have really hit their full potential since their county win. And, you know, waiting for last year kind of didn't quite happen eventually. So I think, you know, after the North final, they really need to find their form, you know, what they're capable of, because Sars will be brimming full of confidence. And, you know, the other two teams in this group are Barcelona and Clonalty. So, I mean, look, the two winners playing each other, two losers in round two. Like, this is the group of death for me.
No, definitely. And look, with the Dangan, like, they had a game against Ross Gray. Look, they didn't really get a full proper game against them. They only hurled for 10 minutes really against Bursley. And look, if they hurled for 10 minutes against Nina. So look, I'm sure they have a big performance in them. And like, when Killangan hit their full heights, like, they're top four for me, they are in the county. So if they hit the heights, look, I wouldn't be surprised if they bet the Stars at the weekend. So it's just another cracker, and it's a hard one to call it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Just to finish up, the same areas, Ballinav, this Cashel and Mind Temple Toohey in the other game in that group on Sunday as well at 7. For me, that's a Cashel win. I know, kind of like a few kind of like doubts over their form and all that. But again, I think Garrett O'Connor is still missing for Mind over in America, so he might be back later in the championship, which would be a key loss for them there. Finally, then up in intermediate, we have Shannon Rovers against the People's Champions Moneygall.
I tell you, just that, I'm actually doing a double header in Nina on Sunday, and I'm flying over to Cashel to do the double header Sunday evening as well. So if I'm not alive Monday morning, it's because I'd have nothing left in me. But this game, right, and this might sound ridiculous, but this is for me the most important game of the weekend, and I make my point here now. The Rovers are in a group of three divisional winners, right? If they don't win against Moneygall at 11:45 on Sunday morning, that's it, their year is done. Because they're only, for me, they're not going to be Kilsheelan, and apologies to anyone listening from Rovers now, no disrespect, they're absolutely dampered with injuries and lads away this year. If they don't beat Moneygall on Sunday, that's it, their year is done and dusted. Like, the three divisional winners in it, this is their county final now on Sunday. And look, they took Moneygall to extra time in Burscane 2 weeks ago, but the real Moneygall showed up then yesterday. So look, I think Moneygall should win handy enough here. And then you're going on to Drum and Knockavilla then. look, I haven't seen much of either teams. Drum intermediates are all as solid as a rock every year without making that breakthrough, I suppose, at the county stage. But
yeah, I was disappointed. I saw Knockavilla against Drum in the knockout game. I think it was a preliminary quarter. Might have been, or was it a quarter final in the intermediate last year? And it was a Drum win. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed with Knockavilla that day. So, again, that's the form I'd be maybe inching towards Drum there. Pardon the pun.
Pun fully intended, I'd say. But no, listen, Jesus, like, the games, 24 games at the weekend.
It's 24 great. Clubs going in with pure, you know, aspirations, no baggage, kind of like divisions done and dusted. They've all been told now, you know, they've all been designed to kind of peak for this kind of weekend or whatever. Like, you know, plans, if they were they've been postponed and all that. Like, it's, you know, it's key. Everyone's starting with a blank page. So it's like, you know, I suppose there's going to be some crackers. There's definitely going to be some upsets, lads.
I think, you know, and
we said there, like, I wouldn't be taking it as gospel. It's only our best guesses there. And I suppose we have this great championship. We have whatever six winners in the last 6 years or whatever. Could well be 7-7, if not more. Like, you know, so it's, and any, like, I couldn't tell you who's going to finish in the relegation zone in the Premier Intermediate and who's going to win the groups, because they all just look so tight.
Since it's been properly put out to a senior, Premier Intermediate and Intermediate, it's really starting to take shape, and I suppose clubs are properly finding their level. So, like, you'll have clubs coming up there with young players that are probably maybe struggling for a year or two in Intermediate or Premier Intermediate, and then once those boys mature, they're really hitting the heights, and it's just great. It's really starting to level out now, but I suppose, as you said earlier on, there is probably a small bit of concern, is there going to be too much of a gap between Premier Intermediate and Senior? Because, like, if Mullaghan played the Premier Intermediate this year, for me, they'd probably win it. And that's probably not a great representation on the Premier Intermediate, that they're probably the favourites to go down from Senior. Do you know? So
exactly. And I'd be worried if you start having Temple Derry, Ross Gray and Mullaghan start bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if
you could make Muller, I don't know if you could make Mullaghan favourites for a Premier Intermediate. I'd have to disagree with that, because
okay.
The last 2 years that they've been beaten by Premier Intermediate teams in their division, like, you know, they're not as strong as they used to be.
Just on that, would you take divisional form on, like, would you take divisional form on, I suppose, on its merit in the county?
That's a dangerous thing to do. It would be a dangerous thing to do.
But where we're talking here is in every other division, it's seniors against seniors. It's Premier Intermediates against Premier Intermediates. In the South, it's senior against Premier Intermediates. And they're after being beaten 2 years in a row by Premier Intermediate teams. In the mid and the north, like as was seen in the west, and in the mid and the north, could you take the best Premier Intermediate team of last year, went up against Killadangan and got a bit of a hockeying? You know, yeah. Cashel got an awful hockeying against Clontarf Rossmore, but down south there's a senior team being beat 2 years in a row by Premier Intermediate teams. It's I know divisional form can be questioned in the northwest and the south, because Upper Turf beat Lochmore, but would they beat them again in county championship? You'd fancy Lochmore.
Yeah.
But I think from Mullaghan point of view, I think where there has to be worry is they've been beaten now 2 years running by Premier Intermediate teams. And that's I don't think that bodes well for when they go up then. Like, they're playing against teams at a higher level in the county championship than the two teams that beat them the two previous years. And I think if they were down into Premier Intermediate, they'll always be part of the contenders, because they never give up. They're a brilliant team to fight, and they'll keep the scoreboard ticking over. But I just don't think the powers are there that used to be there before. Like, you know, Owen Kelly's back in goal. Paul Corn must be 41 or 2 now, you know, and he'll missed the last day because of a holiday, I think, but he'll be playing. He'll still be one of their main men, you know, like as great as he is, and a great club hurler as he is, and a tip legend he is, your main men probably shouldn't be 40 something years of age, you know.
Exactly. No, but then saying that, Conor Ryan was probably Moneygall's main man, and he's 42, like, so that could be something you could do at the end of the season as an over 40 team, the best over 40 team. But no, if that's a fair point, like, but I suppose the point probably still stands. There probably still a fair bit of bit of a gap there at the moment. But look again, it'll probably take its shape. Like, is this only the second or third year of the actual regrading properly? Is it? So, like, it probably will take 5 or 6 years for it to properly, I suppose, measure out. Like,
yeah, it's not the third or fourth year. Just as before we finish up, Camogie, I suppose, was very disappointing. As we'll call it what it is on Saturday, tough conditions. Waterford qualifying for the first final in what 70 years or whatever, but Tipperary, a very disappointing end to the season.
It was tough on them, all right. You know, the Waterford goal, Tip were doing well. You know, they were good. There were a few points up at that stage, and they had 4 or 5 attempts to clear the ball, and you know, it was probably the mark of the occasion, the nerves, probably the Waterford being a little bit better. They were able to kind of bully him, overturn the ball, and get the goal. And look,
yeah, I thought the work rate from Waterford was fantastic.
It's outstanding, yeah. And look, the Tip ladies can be extremely proud of themselves. All Ireland semi final is, you know, it's nothing to be scoffed at. It didn't go their way on the day, but you know, like an All Ireland semi final is still a great achievement, and it's something to build on then for next year.
But come here, you have to give credit to Dennis. Like, Dennis has what been in for not even what 9 or 10 months. Like, Tip haven't got to an All Ireland semi final. I think it was 10 years since the last time they were in one. Like, the work he's done and the improvement in that team has been absolutely savage. There's way more positives coming from this year than the negatives. Poor second half, we all know that, but Jesus, there's plenty more to come from.
Yeah, look, it happens to every team. Yeah. You know, they just couldn't seem to get going there till, you know, I think Karen Kennedy's a girl named up centre forward, kind of, you know, as a kind of last gasp, she kind of won some good ball there and made some great runs, but yeah, they just couldn't seem to get going. Like, you know, some days nothing goes right for you. And I said,
but then again, look, listen, sure, it was still a great weekend for Tip Camogie, the juniors and a savage win.
Juniors, yeah, fair play to them, good win against Roscommon.
And fingers crossed now they'll get the job done, because look, Tip need an intermediate team. Do you know, they've been competing at senior intermediate there for the last 10-15 years, so they need to get back home to intermediate and to where they belong. But David Sullivan has done a serious job there with that team as well. So look, best of luck to them in the final, and yeah, hopefully they can drive it home as well.
Exactly. And before we wrap up, lads, I suppose we have to mention it. Congratulations to the Shannon Siders Limerick, 4 in a row. Lucky, because they had the number plates printed already. So someone was going to be a bit red faced, because Kilkenny had them printed as well, I see. But yeah, I mean, they were awesome in that third quarter or whatever, the championship quarter, whatever you want to call it. But you know, hard to see him stop, lads. I think Tipper might be a bit off the pace yet.
Look, Tip, I think Tip are probably 3 or 4 years behind him at this stage. And there's no disrespect to Liam and the lads there, but like, this is awesome, lads. Jesus, like, when Kilkenny got that goal to go 5 points up, you're like, Jesus, there's a bit of hope here now. But no, that was it. That was probably the fire that Limerick needed. The hole in the net probably drove Limerick on. But like, what was it, 21-1 in the second half? And I would arguably say Limerick were still probably in fourth gear. They didn't get going. They didn't need to get into fifth gear at all. They're just awesome. And look, they're the best team I've ever seen. And I'm around 32, 33 years old. I've never seen a better team. And look, more power to them. Fair play to them. And I can't see the drive for 5 being stopped now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's no one's really coming out of the pack.
No, but look, I suppose each year takes on its own life. So look, it's a phenomenal. Has to be said. Even through grit and teach, I'd have to say they were phenomenal. You know, that I watched a clip of an interview with Tommy Welch there, Kilkenny's Tommy Welch, and he was on about the fundamentals of the game back when he was playing. When you're first ball, your fitness, and he says, What he necessarily didn't really enjoy at the time, the intricacies, the small passing, the movements, you know, the off the shoulder. Limerick have made that fundamental part of the game now, and they're excellent at it. You know, there'd be a Kilkenny man hanging out of a Limerick man's back, and Kyle Hayes would pass it 10 yards to the lad that's been marked. Didn't bother him. He'd catch it and pass it back. There's loads of ways of playing hurling, and aside from the throne, which is sickening. Limerick's way of playing hurling and how they execute it is just phenomenal, you know. And that, you know, a lot of people might not agree with it, but if Limerick didn't throw the ball as much as they did, I think that the whole country would be talking about them as the greatest team ever. But the throwing of the ball, it taints things a little bit, because simple fact is they get away with it when others
want to get away. Yeah, to say there wasn't one blown yesterday. Like.
You know, and it's only frustrating because it's other clubs. If the Bonamar was going through on goal the last puck of the game in the All-Ireland final and he threw the ball to Noel McGrath and he buried it, we wouldn't give a shit about a throw ball, you know. But it is a blight of the game. And
but I can
it
see
comes
even,
from...
Like, just like...
Sorry, Stephen, just before you go on, you hit the nail on the head there. It's a blight of the game. I don't think it's a blight of the Limerick team, and I don't think it taints them at all.
Yeah.
They're playing to the rules. That I suppose, look, it's up to the referees to bring them down it, but they're playing to the rules of the game. And look, they're the best at it. Like Nicky Quaid, School of Hurling, he's the best at waiting time as well.
And where it's coming from.
We know, like, next February, there's going to be a big push now on every second hand pass being blown, like in the early stages of the league. But by Championship, like all the rules, in the new rules that'll be introduced, it'll be back to square one, back to one.
Yeah. I championed it a while ago on one of the pods. I said, I'd rather referee get two correct calls wrong to stamp out the throw ball, you know. But when you're on the receiving end of a legitimate hand pass and the referee blows against you, you know what? It's actually more frustrating when it goes against you than when someone throws a ball against you, you know. And where it's all coming, it's not managers deciding, hey, we'll throw the ball. It's the modern way of training now, the small-sided games, the real quick movement, every 100 mile an hour. You don't have time in small-sided games. There's no time to hand pass a ball. There's just no time anymore. And that's where it's
in those games.
Yeah, there's just no time, and it's finding a way to eradicate it, you know. And it's going to take a couple of years of ire amongst players and supporters to try and really stamp it out. Because to really stamp it out, you're going to have to blow a lot of legitimate passes, because some of them are proper hand passes that won't be seen as going, because it'll happen in so big a crowd and so quick. You're the Scottish Mashley going to think it was a throw, and I don't know. Are the public ready for that? Because you know it's very, very frustrating when you're blown for a legitimate one. And I think now, because it's gone on so long, there's more frustration for a legitimate free, a legitimate hand pass going against you, and there is a throw.
Maybe we saw in the tip game, was that against Limerick? Actually, ironically enough, earlier in the summer, it's even gone when we were blown for. Right, lads. Lots of games on, lots of action this weekend. Thanks a million to Bodhi for previewing and reviewing all the action there. Great time in the county, kind of hurling wise. So many games on. So thanks a million and best of luck the weekend, Gareth, especially with all that talking you'll be doing.
Yeah, I might be here with you next week. But come here, just anyone listen, whatever about club or TV, but get out and support your clubs this weekend. Like this is what everyone trains for. Not everyone waits all year round. County's great and everything, but club is where it's at. And just to kind of make sure everyone in their clubs and their parish get out and support your clubs this weekend. So, and best luck to everyone as well. Look, listen, FBD and the county board have done great promotion as well. So best luck to everyone this weekend.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, lads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.